summer thing. We, the main purpose down there is, it's about 15-20 miles south of the base, and it's the secure Highway 1, particularly as it runs through that mountain pass there, and then goes to the ocean. And we've had a little trouble with the VC and the mountains that have been trying to harass traffic on the highway, and the railroad, incidentally, in this particular area runs parallel to the highway. There's one of the few stretches of railroad that still works in Vietnam. In fact, I think it is the only stretch. It runs from the train down here to Phan Rang and then up to Da Lat. Da Lat is up in the mountains, and that's where all the vegetables and truck farming type commercial products are grown here in Vietnam. So it's a pretty important place to have a railroad, since that's one of the only ways they have of hauling those goods down to the markets. And the roads aren't too good, and they don't have that many trucks anyway, so this is a very important stretch of railroad. Anyway, my idea was to protect this area. We also had a lot of problem with the taxation bit. The VC come down out of the mountains and stop these buses and trucks and make them pay a tax to go on by safely. And of course that was kind of a double taxation, which has always been a problem with the people that live in this area, because the Vietnamese government taxes them, and then Charlie turns around and taxes them also. And they're not too happy about that, and they're glad to see us around here and give them a little protection. The Phan Rang area itself is very much pacified. It's probably one of the safest areas in Vietnam. In fact, Phan Rang has never been mortared, and knock on wood there. But it is a very pacified area. But down south, of course, in the mountains, why, these guys are the hardcore VC, live up there in the Keys, and they have their rice cases up there, and they can last almost indefinitely, and it's like looking for a needle in a haystack to try and find 8 or 10 guys that are holed up in a mountain cave in this very, very rugged territory. But we're trying anyway, and the guys have been climbing through the hills there, humping the hills, as they say. And we have had just a few light contacts, but we haven't been too successful in getting Charlie pinned down to do any fighting. Of course, with a smaller unit as he has, he's not about to go up and fight a whole battalion, especially as modern and mechanized as we are now with the helicopters and, of course, our fire support. But they have tried to stand and fight a couple times, and, of course, they got to find in light pretty good, and so they haven't tried to fight a since in this area. We're now, the last 3 days, the brigade has moved in. All of the 101st now has come south, and so now we have our 4 battalions here. They came down on the troops flew down in C-130s, and the rest of the stuff came in by LST, these big ships. But they have the big doors that open up in the front, and you just drive right up in the hole. Now, they hold a lot of stuff, and I don't know how many it took. I think it took 3 or 4 of them to haul everything down here. So, except for the battalion that's in the field to the south, the other 3 battalions are kind of resting right now. It's the first stand down of any trade that they've had, some of these guys, for 7 or 8 months. So, needless to say, it's pretty wild around here right now. In fact, the Air Force people around Phan Rang here have never seen anything quite like it, and they're probably going to be glad when we leave, but they're all worried that we're going to tear the whole place down. These paratroopers, pretty wild bunch to start with, and of course they've been out there climbing up down those mountains for over half a year now, and so when they get to let off a little steam, they really do. They have the town of Phan Rang off limits at night. They do let them in the daytime, and there's kind of a strip right outside the gate here, just like most any Air Force base across, at least overseas. You always find a strip, and of course that's where all the bars and the bottles are, and the paratroopers really put them to good use. I imagine those places make enough money in this 1 week to last them the rest of the year on the Vietnamese economy. These guys, they don't have a chance to spend money any other time, and so they really go wild when they do get a chance. Seems like they just want to just spend it for the heck of spending it, I guess. So it's been pretty wild around here, and of course we've had a lot of welcome home type parties, and battalion parties and brigade, and like I said, it seemed like we can hardly find time to fight the war here for all our parties. But it's good for morale, and it's a good way to get to meet everybody, and this is a problem when everybody is scattered out in the field. You hear them on the radio, but it's hard to get to meet these guys. So it is a real good time for that, and also to let the guys get a little breather and make plans for future operations. Speaking of future operations, we are going to be moving further south. We'll be leaving Zan Rei here in probably about 3 or 4 days. And our home base now, I mean, the place we're going to be working out of is San Theot. You've probably heard Wayne talk about San Theot. It's south of here, about 60 miles further down the coast. I'm sure you'll see it on your map because it's a pretty large town. It's quite a bit larger than San Rei. One of their claims to fame is that they're the nuke mom capital of the world. San Theot is a very large fishing center, and of course, where you have fish, you have nuke mom. I think Wayne probably told you about nuke mom, you know, the sauce they make with the with fermented fish drippings. It's got a smell that you just can't really believe unless you smell it. And it's famous all over, and the guys around here talk about nuke mom, although the sauce itself is supposed to be very good. I haven't had the nerve to try it yet myself. Anyway, we're going to be operating in the mountain area to the west and northwest of San Theot. Also on your map, you'll probably notice a town named Baolac. B-A-O-L-O-C. Baolac. Well, that's going to be one of the centers of our operation, and we're going to try. There's a couple of VC units in the mountains there. We know they're there, it's just a matter of finding them. And we're going to have a 4-battalion operation going here for probably the next month, through the month of December, in this area. So I'll tell you more about it once I get into the operation, but that's pretty much the way it looks right now. And so we're going to be living in the field again, actually, right outside the town of San Theot. So we're back to tents. Speaking of living, I'm living very good right now, the best I've lived in Vietnam, as a matter of fact. When I came down and joined Major Pratt, why, he had the foresight to go over and check out the Air Force side of the field, which is just a few minutes away from the 101st area. They're just off the flight line a ways, the 101st is. And of course, Van Ring, you know, is going to be one of our permanent bases here in Vietnam. We have a 99-year lease here, and so all the buildings are being built on a permanent basis. In fact, they've got base housing planned there on a golf course and the whole bit. And there are 4 bases like that in Vietnam. You know, we have Phan Rang, and Cameron Bay, Thuy Hoa, and Phu Cat. Those are the 4 permanent Air Force bases. I'll probably back to run on one of these days if I stay in the flying business. Anyway, they've got some real nice housing here, and they've got a bunch of trailers. And all the pilots live in these air-conditioned trailers, and they have hot and cold running water and the whole bit. And it's very nice living. Like I say, it's by far the best we've had. So Major Press and I are living in a trailer now. And in fact, that's where I am right now, laying on my nice inner spring mattress and all that good stuff. So I'm getting spoiled, but of course it won't be for long. I'll be back in a tent here in about 3 or 4 days. But you gotta stay flexible on that count, especially as much as we move. I've lived in just about every form of structure there is in Vietnam now, and it doesn't seem to really matter that much, and especially since it's cooled off a little now with the monsoon, the northeast monsoon. Of course, we have pretty much gotten out of the rain down here, and the monsoon doesn't move as far south. Normally, the northeast monsoon, the heavy rains don't get much further south than Nha Trang. So we're down in a fairly dry area here, and we'll be for the next 6 months in this, if we stay in this area and don't move any further north. We do get rain, but it's just showers and light rain type activity, nothing like we were starting to get up at July. I'm hoping to, I'm almost sure that I'll be seeing Wayne at Phan Theot, because this is one base that they go into all the time. They have a regular run that goes to Phan Theot with their C-47s, and it's going to be pretty hard to miss. In fact, he'll probably be in and out of there all the time, and it's going to be kind of interesting anyway. I find it's really a coincidence that we're finally in and up together in a way, because moving that close and everything, I'm going to try and get him to come out and stay for a few days and go on a couple of missions with me up back in the mountains. So I'm hoping to get to see him. A couple of my buddies were down to Saigon here recently, Army types, and they ran into him. Of course, it was the same old thing, you know, and they thought he was me. And the one guy, he knew I had a twin brother, so he figured it out right away, and so he was telling me about where we're going to be and everything, so I'm sure he's going to be trying to get in there one of these days. So we're going to get together yet somehow. Seems like it's really been a problem, though. One other interesting thing we had here about a week ago, General Westmoreland came over. Well, I'll take it back now. It was about 2.5 weeks ago, because what he did, he wanted to talk to our new battalion just before they went to the field, the 506. This was, of course, their first action in Vietnam, and he came over and gave him a pep talk. He's real great for keeping a personal touch with his men, and particularly, of course, the 101st, since he used to be the commander of it. And as I've told you before, he really thinks a lot of the 101st. They're kind of his reaction-type force here. He sends it where the action is, and course, that's what I like, because that means we're always in on the action and not sitting around twiddling our thumbs. Anyway, he came over and flew in one day. He talked to the guys, and then he had lunch with us, and that was good. We gave a little briefing. Of course, the facts are on the battalion staff, so we sat in on the briefing, and then we had lunch at the support battalion mess here at the Ritz. It's very nice. It's an air-conditioned building, and they have Vietnamese waitresses and everything. It's a real nice setup there. And he was very impressive, of course. Four-star generals always are, aren't they? But he particularly is. He's a very good speaker. He can get up and just talk right off the cuff and tell the guys what they really want to hear. And he's very captivating. I mean, he's the kind of guy that you kind of stand back in awe when he comes in. And the paratroopers just think he's really the greatest. And, he's very, very popular with the Army over here. A week or two later, I heard his interview with the National Press Club on Armed Forces Radio, and I was impressed with his ability to field questions from the floor without, you know, getting himself in trouble making some wild statements. And I thought he handled it very well. He gave a pretty good little speech on our situation here in Vietnam now. I know that everyone's been pretty concerned because of the big battle up at Dak Tho. And of course, that's another one of the airborne units that's working up there, and they lost almost half a battalion in one battle there, which kind of shook a lot of people up, but I can easily understand it because my battalion at one time was in a similar situation when we were fighting up there by Tam Kỳ. So it's just, like the Army says, you got to expect losses, and they do expect them, and it's just one of those things, I guess. You know, I had a real happy moment here a few days ago when Harvey came down, Harvey Blanton, our ops officer, and he brought along my orders and my citation for a Distinguished Flying Cross. I was just awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross. It was from an accident that occurred actually back in last June. And it was just, and of course, these wheels grind pretty slowly on this sort of thing. It takes a long time for them to go through and be approved. But anyway, it's a very highly prized award by pilots, and I was very proud, very happy to get it. It's a pretty long war story to tell you the particular day that this happened. I'll say not tell you about it later someday. But anyway, it was a very exciting day, a day I'll always remember. It was one of the big actions we had when we were down at Dak Tho, and that's about what it amounted to. Anyway, I was real happy to receive it. Well, we're getting ready now. We're starting to pack and get everything arranged again. They'll start taking off. We're living in a field, and we're going to have a very big area down to the south here, and it's going to keep us flying pretty steady. We've been flying pretty steady anyway. I've got 80 hours this month already. Seems like we stay right in there and fly every day. Of course, the weather's good down here, too, and so that helps as far as giving the guys the coverage they need in the fact business. We've had a little changeover in personnel in the last week or two. Jan Stevens, one of our old facts, like he was the senior fact. He'd been with the 101st a whole year here. He went home, and he was replaced by one of our new people, Major Blair. Major Blair was in fact, and he had come through the 100 program course and come over here. He's going to be probably taking over as the new ALO now. Major Sexton was scheduled to, but I think he is. ALO, of course, stands for Air Liaison Officer, and he is the leader of the facts, I guess you'd say. And he is the air representative on the general staff in the 101st Airborne. And but since he's the senior man, he'll probably be taking this over. Well, I see my tape's about to run out here. I hope you all had a real nice Thanksgiving. I did. I had a very good Thanksgiving dinner up in the train. I was up there with an airplane, so I stopped in. Of course, it was just another work day over here, but I did have the big dinner as usual. See y'all. Time's marching on. Got to be a couple, 3 months here, and I'll be thinking about coming home. So in the meantime, I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. And of course, I'll be right in between then and now, but I'll tell you on the tape ahead of time anyway. I'll keep the letters coming, and Darwin, sure appreciate any music tapes if you get any time for them. I've sure played that other one. You've said I've played them to death, I think. I've just about worn out. We'll be seeing you, and bye-bye for now.